Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The car enthusiast, the wine connoisseur, and the art expert, they all have one important thing in common. These people are all in a position to give an expert opinion on the monetary value of material things. But what we sometimes forget is there is also a world of unseen things like faith. And faith has value not only in this life, but in the life to come. And only those with faith who are truly repentant and know the enormity of their sins are really in that expert position to accurately assess the true value of the gospel. This was Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus when he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and according to the riches of his glory, that he might grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." Paul's prayer is that the Spirit of Christ would enable those Christians living in Ephesus to comprehend what would otherwise be incomprehensible, the love that God had for them and for all who put their trust in Christ. Paul in this prayer was asking God to reveal the true value and worth of the gospel to hearts by faith. By this prayer, Paul was beseeching God to help this Christian congregation calculate what would otherwise be incalculable, the value of everything that God has given in the gospel. For Paul would say that in the gospel, God had given them far above and beyond anything that they were able to ask for or think of or imagine. A trained expert usually has a vast and comprehensive knowledge of his subject, whereas most people have only a casual interest in things like cars or wine or art, and usually they know very little about the true value and worth of these things. Turning this to the gospel, do you know what the hope intended for you in the gospel is worth? To know what the gospel is worth, you will first need to know what the gospel is. And that only the Spirit of Christ can teach us this through his word. Far too many churchgoers who have attended churches throughout their lives don't know the gospel or its value because it goes beyond ordinary human knowledge. They think they know, but they really don't. They think they're Christians, but they really aren't. For though they occupy a pew, they really know nothing about the surpassing greatness of the gospel. And so much to their surprise, not knowing the gospel, if this is not corrected, is going to prevent them from going to heaven. Part of the problem for their not understanding and appreciating the gospel is that many people who attend church these days no longer take the law seriously. Many who consider themselves Christians, even though they refuse to believe in the God who punishes sin and sinners. And on top of that, These Christians suppose that there is no reason to believe in a literal hell where God punishes evil. How can anyone possibly then put a correct value on the message of the cross, which is the gospel, when they do not take seriously that Christ died to spare us from the very real wrath of God? Now, ever since the early 70s, people have been indoctrinated by our world to believe that you're okay and I'm okay. But the Bible says we are not okay. Apart from the saving gospel, you and I are lost and condemned creatures. If you have not been made alive in Christ, then you remain dead in trespasses and sins. What kind of value would you place upon a cancer treatment that could cure you of cancer? First, you would have to know and accept that you have cancer. First, you would need to become convinced of the diagnosis before you would become willing and eager to receive the cure. And so it is with sin and grace. You see, we will never appreciate the forgiveness that Christ brings to us in the gospel until we first believe in that condemnation that God, that we have brought upon ourselves by not keeping his law. The value of the gospel will mean nothing to those until they are fully convinced that all that they have earned by this life is sin, by their sinning is death. Too many of us treat the sin in our lives far, far too lightly. But in the aftermath of the flood in our Old Testament lesson, Noah and his family certainly didn't. And because of this, Noah and his family found great healing when they heard God's promise that he would never again destroy the world in this way. That covenant of the rainbow was pure gospel to Noah and to his family. Too often, I'm afraid, we treat the events of Noah's ark as some light little story intended for children. We tell our children all about the cute and cuddly animals that made their way up into the ark two by two. But have we ever told our children what happened to those who disobeyed and did not board the ark? Do we ever describe their horrible fate in Noah's day? Those who refused to repent of their sins and believe in the gospel. The people of Noah's time refused to value the ark as gospel, as the means of God's deliverance. Just think about the desperate regret and sorrow that must have come upon those standing outside of the ark once the judgment of God came down upon them. Noah had preached the gospel for nearly 100 years to all of those people who drowned. And in all that time, Noah could not get one single sinner to see the value and the importance of entering the ark as the means by which God intended to save the world. In all of his days of preaching, Noah never gained a single convert. But this has nothing to do with the fault of his preaching, but the rejection of the gospel owed itself to the evil and the unbelief that was so much part of his day. And when that great door of the ark was shut and sealed, never to be opened again until after the flood, those who were being punished by the Lord began to figure it out. But for them, it was too late. In the same way, if you do not know the true spiritual value of the gospel, my friends, do not wait until it is too late. If you have only been a casual listener on Sunday mornings, if you have only been an infrequent church attender, it is time that you learn to appreciate the gospel in all of its fullness. And God has given you pastors who are both authorities and experts on assessing the true value of the gospel for you. Unless a person realizes the depravity of his sin and the gravity of his guilt, he will despise the gospel and he will greatly underestimate its value to him. Such a proud soul may even be insulted by the gospel, which offers to give things to him that he thinks he has already earned and deserved from God. Because that spiritually proud person values his own works so highly, he undervalues the reconciling and redemptive work that God accomplished in Christ while on the cross. Any person failing to understand or to admit sin cannot possibly understand or comprehend what God was doing nailed to that tree. For the saving gospel surpasses the scope of human knowledge. Even though man is highly creative, no man would have ever come up with the gospel as the way in which God would choose to save sinners. It is just too fantastic and wild, too bizarre to imagine that God found a way to lay down his life for us by first becoming a man. And it's even more incredible that God would lay down his life so willingly for those who did not love him. Who could have ever imagined that God would be born of a woman and then live the perfect life that you and I owed to God? Who would have ever believed that God would then offer up this perfected life of his Son on the cross to pay for our very imperfect lives? Think about it. What God demands of you in the law, God has already provided for you in the gospel. God died in the place of a world of rebels, of people who refused to remain in their place, preferring instead to exalt themselves over God. And yet God's Son left his exalted place in heaven and was humbled and willing to die in our place. How extraordinary. My friends in Christ, we are unique among churches in our community in that we preach and teach the gospel in all of its truth and purity. For God has graciously given us a true understanding and appreciation of the gospel that far eclipses those messages that are so frequently heard in churches that undervalue the gospel. What a gift from God that we have been given here at St. John Lutheran Church to know and believe the saving gospel. For in that gospel, God bestows upon us poor sinners the riches of his grace in Christ. When Paul prays that those in Ephesus would be filled with the fullness of God, what the apostle is praying is that they might come to a full appreciation and understanding of the gospel. And God be praised that you and I have this in our congregation. We have the gospel in all its clarity, fullness, truth, and grace. When we say this, we're not bragging about ourselves, for too often we do far too little with the gospel that we have been given. But we are boasting about the Lord's goodness and His grace that is at work in our lives. We are so blessed as a congregation to be able to receive week after week the full and complete gospel in all of its breadth and length and height and depth. Sometimes we naively assume that wherever people go to church, that they too hear the gospel in all its truth and purity. But sadly, they don't. When we visit other churches, most of us only notice differences in congregational style, and we fail to notice the important differences in gospel substance. Americans really have come to prefer style over substance. Sometimes even our own church members fall to this trap. After visiting other churches, they will frequently come back and tell me how another pastor preached or delivered his sermon, but they never tell me what he preached. When it comes to appreciating the gospel, my friends, it is all about content. The content of the gospel is about all that God did for us in Christ, those things that God had demanded of us in the law. Why do churches and those who attend those churches often make the physical amenities and the organizational activities of their congregation more important than the pure preaching and the right teaching of the gospel? Maybe it's because if you don't know the gospel, and if you're not led by the Spirit of Christ, you can still humanly determine the value and cost of buildings and programs. Even if you have no concept of the surpassing greatness of the gospel, you can still assess the value and the worth, in human terms, of church facilities and programs and staff. But then I think, can you? For in reality, how can you possibly evaluate the church or its mission or its ministry if you have such little understanding or appreciation for the gospel? Why is it that so many congregations these days tend to value the things that they can see over those things that God calls us to see, even though they are unseen? It's because, not knowing the gospel that surpasses knowledge, many of the church feel more comfortable judging by the law, which they are much more familiar with. But the law, my friends, is all about obligation to God. It's all about evaluating human performance. Are we doing enough? Are we good enough? How we perform and what we do, however, has nothing to do with the gospel. For the gospel is not about what any one of us does. It is about what Christ did. It is about what He performed. The gospel is the good news that our salvation has already been accomplished in Christ because He was able to perform what we were unable to do. Recently, a woman living in North Carolina bought two paintings at a Goodwill store for $9.99 apiece. She intended to paint over the canvases, but one of the paintings turned out to be a famous work, The Vertical Diamond, by a noted 20th century artist, Ilya Bulatovsky. It's valued between $15,000 and $20,000 by the famous Sotheby's auction house. What was painted up on that canvas, however, when she bought it, was unappreciated and undervalued until an art authority appraised its worth. My friends in Christ, your worth is never going to be found in the law or in anything that you can do for God. Your faith instead must cling to what God has done for you in Christ and what He is still doing for you through the pure proclamation of the gospel of free forgiveness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.